Spirit and your presence in this place. You never fail, oh God. You never fail, oh Lord, to come out in the right time, oh Lord. And this morning you are here in this place, oh God. And we're so grateful for that, oh God. That we can come to a place to worship your name. Without no one looking at us, oh Lord, but we can call upon your name this morning, oh God. Oh, thank you for that freedom, Lord, that we can worship you, God. You are so worthy, Lord. You're so holy, Lord. Oh, Lord, we didn't deserve it, but Lord, you are worthy. You are worthy, Lord. Oh, Lord, help us this morning, oh God, to really examine our hearts, Lord. Is when you speak to us, Lord. Father, you want great things to happen, God. Thank you, Lord. We want to pray for the sick, Lord. We want to pray for the sick among us, oh God, for the ones who are on the bulletins, oh Lord. You know who they are, God. We won't continue praying for them, oh God, that you extend your arm forth in a mighty way. Touch. Touch with just gentle hand, Lord. I pray in a mighty, precious way, God. Lord, as we prepare our hearts, oh Father, to hear from your word, let us be sensitive to you, Lord. Let there be no distractions, but our hearts and our minds be focusing on you this morning, oh God. I thank you, Lord, for your word that's going to be shared. Every time your word is shared, God, there's something new that we learn from it, oh God. We thank you for that. Thank you, God. In your name we pray, we ask these things. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise God. You may be seated. I pray that you will keep this atmosphere of worship in our hearts tuned to the word of God this morning. I want to thank the praise team and worship for leading us into praise and worship. Thank you very much. May the Lord continue to bless your voices and your hands as you lead us into worship every Sunday after Sunday. So praise God. I know this Sunday is Palm Sunday. We heard it a couple of times this morning, Palm Sunday, Palm Sunday. And around the world, there are a lot of preachers that will be speaking about Palm Sunday. And sharing about, you know, trial of Jesus, the Last Supper, and so forth, until they go into the cross. And we'll be celebrating it next week on Sunday. God willing, we'll be celebrating the resurrection of Christ. And because he is alive, amen? And so, but while I was preparing my heart and, you know, preparing what, and I said, Lord, what is it? And I know some people were telling me if the Lord, you know, if God is leading you in speaking to you in another message, go right ahead. And then there was other ones that were telling me, oh, are you going to speak about Palm Sunday? And I get friends from Montreal, are you going to speak about Palm Sunday? I like to hear voices, but I really like to hear the voice of God. And the voice of God for me is extremely important. I don't know why, but I'm not speaking about Palm Sunday. I do encourage you to go into scriptures, and you can read Matthew, start Matthew 21 and so forth, and you will hear that the last days of Jesus on earth and when he went to the cross. I do encourage you to take day by day, you know, starting by tonight and going by tomorrow and reading until Sunday, and you will get the whole idea of the 7 days and before Christ and so went on the cross for us. But I want to be sensitive to the voice of God, and that's what I want to be, obedient to the voice of God, and I want to be do what God is letting me to do. And obviously, the Word of God is the Word of God, you know, but I want to share what God has placed in my hearts, and there's something that came on to me. It's been at least a month now that he placed. It's greater things. It's the word greater things. I was trying to figure out what is it, greater things, Lord? And he would say, I will do greater things in your life. Do you know every one of us here can do greater things? Jesus came on earth. He died and he resurrected, he went with his Father. It was not it was not the end. It was just the beginning. Now he transmitted, he gave the Holy Spirit the power to go out and do what we're called to do. And I want to equip the church today in doing that. And there's some key elements that I want to share with you this morning. And I want to start in the book of Acts, because I want to speak about Acts 1, chapter 1, chapter 2. And then after Easter, I'm going to go to chapter 3 of Acts, a series on Acts that I want to do just for a little mini series. And later on, I want to share, the next month, I want to share something with God has another placing on my heart, is heaven and hell and angels. I want to have a series on heaven and hell. It's been a long time. We haven't heard about heaven and hell. So I think it's a time for our church and this society to once again hear about heaven and hell. There is a heaven and there's a hell, and there's also angels and so forth and demons and all that stuff. So, but I don't want to scare anybody, but I will speak more about the heaven than the hell stuff, okay? Because it's, you know, I don't want to scare anybody through the scriptures. But this morning we want to focus our attention to greater things. Did you ever notice that while reading the gospel, nothing is impossible for Jesus? Sin, he resisted. Satan was defeated. Disease, he overcame it. Death, he conquered. There is nothing impossible for Jesus. The entire ministry of Jesus goes on one obstacle to another obstacle. And it seems that in a man's eyes, it was very difficult to overcome it. But with the power of Jesus, he overcame those obstacles. And at the end of his life, his last obstacle was death. And all of a sudden, he resurrected 3 days later. And I noticed about people, when we read in the Testament, when we read about the scriptures, when we hear and we see the move of God and the way Jesus performed miracles after miracles after miracles, we just take it like a story. But I can tell you something, there's nothing impossible for Jesus. Those things really happened. It's not just a story. It really happened. And we must believe it with all our hearts that Jesus did walk on this earth. And the way he laid his hands on people, they were instantly healed on the spot. But God has given us, and he said, when I go, I'm going to go with my Father. I will give you the Spirit. I will give you the power to do what? To do what I called you to do. It's not just for the fun of it, but he's given us this power to fulfill what God has called us to do. I believe that God has placed a desire in every heart in this place. And the enemy has crushed our desire and put fear in our lives. But I do believe there's some preachers in this house. I do believe there's some evangelists in this house. I do believe there's some missionaries in this house, Sunday school teachers, deacons and deaconesses, and elders and so forth to do the work of God. He's given us this power. He's given us the Spirit to go out and to lay your hands on someone and to be transformed by the power of God. We cannot do the same performance of Jesus. I have never seen in 25 years of my life someone walking on water, but we can do greater things. Not performance. I'm talking about greater things. We all like the Acts moment, as when we see Peter preaching and 3,000 people were saved in an instant. We like to know the result, but we need to know how that was happened to have the 3,000 saved. That's the key. I'm getting a little bit excited here. But the Bible does tell us this in John 14, 12 to 16. And I just read it, verse 12. Verily, truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have doing. And they will do even greater things than these people, because I'm going to the Father. Yes, greater things, greater works. It's not hard to believe that Jesus' miracle, but it's hard to believe that we can't do it. It's hard. You know, we've seen it. Oh, yeah, he did those miracles. But can I really do those things? Can I really pray for someone? That verse has to mean something for us. It's not just written for the fun of it. Greater things. He's telling you we'll do greater things. Doesn't that excite you? Oh, it excites me when I know that we can do greater things. And this reference is for you and I, whoever who believes in that. Every one of us in this place, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, has a call upon their life. Every one of us have a call. I don't think we can do spectacular things than Jesus, but we can do greater things. This verse has to mean something for you and I this morning. It has to. And I believe that when it just doesn't make sense that when Jesus went to the Father, it just didn't end there. He said he's going to give us that Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that power upon our life. And we said, okay, but why is that happening to me? Because if we look in Acts, and we're going to look at it, he's telling the 120, there were 500 when they started. Some scholars say there were 500, and then the 120 were there. And he said this famous word, wait. There's a reason why he said to wait. And he waited there for 40 days. And I want to dissect that. There's three things that I want to look at when he's telling us to wait there. And the way we look in Acts, and I want to apply it to our lives. Yes, 2 weeks ago we did speak about wait, and that verse was, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. But today is wait. I want to see results, but God is telling us, wait for a moment. And the disciples had to wait for 40 days until the power of the Holy Spirit had to come down in that place. And we come to one service, oh Lord, send the Spirit upon my life right away. You know, wait a moment. There's things that you and I must do before receiving the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to look through the scriptures what has happened there. Greater things will happen because I will send my Spirit. And the Spirit that resided in Jesus now resides in each even one of you this morning here. The key of Jesus' miracles work was not just because he was divinity. He was filled with the fullness of God. What happened there and 3,000 saved was the Spirit of God that came upon them. So it is in God's intention for you and I to continue the work of Christ by the Spirit of God. And I believe without question that God has given, like I said before, every heart a desire for greater things. And at times we ignore and we desire this desire and we quench this desire and we become afraid or disappointed. But God has given us a desire. And what are the key? What's the key for greater things? In Acts, I want to look at in Acts 1 and 2. Is when you have time, you can read it because I'm just going to dissect it a little bit here. In Acts 2, there's three things that we need to look at. And I heard this years ago. These three key elements. And it just stuck to my mind and to my heart. And I want to share with you. I don't remember where I heard this from. But it's focus on the fullness of God so you can fulfill what God has called you to do. But you must focus first. The next slide, you will see the three keys. Every Christian should have to fulfill the work of God. Focus, fullness, and fulfillment. The reason why we see it in Acts 1 verse 4 and Acts 1 verse 8 is because Jesus ascended to his Father. It was his expectation that the disciples would continue his ministry. And in Acts 1 verse 4, on the occasion where he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait. Wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. And then Acts 1:8, but you will receive, if you will wait, you will receive the power of the Holy Spirit that comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Doesn't that verse mean something for you and I this morning? You will be my witness. It's time for Christians to rise up and be the witness of God. It's time for Christians to take that stand. It's time for Christians to go out and lay your hands on someone and believe by the power of God, because that same Spirit resides in your life today. Greater things will happen. You know, I was driving the other day to my wife loves West Edmonton Mall. Lord, that West Edmonton Mall. I know some Canadians go there once every 10 years. My wife wants to go there once a week. Go crazy. Anyways, we're driving to West Edmonton Mall, and I see my son and I, Michael, see a young girl in the middle of the street where media. Okay, we're going to see that word there. And she was there like this, and just shaking her hands. And I drove by, cars are driving by, cars are driving by. And I said, that doesn't make sense. So all of a sudden we went, and I did the whole turn, and I came back, went around her, and I just got out of the car with Michael. We went slowly and slowly, and we hear that she was yelling loud, and she was crying louder and louder and louder. And I just slowly, gently placed my hand on her. Well, I placed my hand on her, she didn't even look at my face, but she jumped and she cried louder and louder. And she goes, I'm going to jump in the next car who passes by. She was crying. She says, I want to commit suicide. And no one was stopping. I don't know how long she was waiting, but I can tell you something. She was there for a long time, because then when I stopped, then you have 100 cars that stopped and meet traffic in the middle of the road. And all of a sudden the person said, oh, I've seen her. I went to the mall. I came out and she's still there. And I said to my mom, you couldn't get out of your car before and try to do something? So I went to her and she goes, I want to commit suicide. I want to commit suicide. I want to commit suicide. So, and then Michael and I were just looking, and my wife was there. She says, no, listen, we can help you. You know, there's someone who loves you, and we're trying to teach her, you know, trying to give her some encouragement. And then Michael just called 911, and all of a sudden the 911 came maybe 10 minutes later. And the purpose of all that is that every one of us will encounter someone like this in life. Every one of us. It doesn't have to be someone who's suicidal. It can be someone else that's going through the hardest time. But if that person is in front of you because God allowed it to be there for you. And I've done that years ago. I've realized it years ago when a woman wanted to commit suicide. And I called my pastor, please, go, go, go. You have to go, because I don't know what to do. I just gave my life to Jesus. I don't know what to do, pastor. No, if she's there, because God has placed you with her. And I went. After 6 hours of talking, I didn't even know what I said. But God was just moving in my life in that time. And I remember my wife and I, the kitchen table, she knelt down. She accepted Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. God places people in our lives. You can do greater things. But there's things that you need to do is to focus. We need to focus. We need to what? Fullness. We need to look for the fullness of God. And we need to fulfill what God has called us to do. The reason why he told them to wait is because they needed to have the fullness of the Spirit. So in order for us to continue the work of Jesus, we need the Spirit of Jesus. I have a hard time, and I'm sharing even from my heart. I'm not just looking at notes. I have a hard time when some people who served the Lord for 10 years and still the same way as they came in the first day. It kills my heart. Because you're playing God for a ride. If you encounter God, you must come out transformed. And you must grow in your spiritual walk. When Moses went to the burning bush, he came out different. A radiant face. The people around said, wow. But it seems that when we go to an altar and pray, we come out worse than we came in. Lord, help us to really seek the face of God. And when you and I encounter the power of God, you must come out transformed. You must come out transformed, because God is not a God who's playing with our lives. God is a God who wants to use you in a mighty, precious way. He wants to heal you. He wants to transform you. He wants to melt you, mold you, and make you the way he wants you to be. But you and I must learn how to release ourselves and really humble ourselves and say, Jesus, I really need help. And I know I touch on some people's toes, but if you're the same as yesterday, you're not going anywhere. If you have the same attitude, you're not going anywhere. If you have the same critic mind, you're not going anywhere. If you have the same bad spirit, you're not going anywhere. No, man. We need to be renewed. Time is getting closer to the return of Jesus. And we need to be strong for this. And strong. And strong. And say, Lord, I humble myself before you. I need more change in my life, because you called me to do greater things. We put ourselves sometimes in situations, people mock us and laugh us,
Oh, you are really Christian?
Because we act not like a Christian. Lord, help us. Lord, help us, please. So he was there. They waited there for 40 days, book of Acts, before the Spirit would come. And I believe that because Jesus wanted to teach his disciples something, a very important lesson. We will never do greater things unless we receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit in your life. We will never receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit unless we focus. Fullness is always preceded by focus. And he demands his disciples to wait. And he's demanding us to wait. For 40 days he had to wait. Just wait for 40 minutes this morning. Just wait for 4 minutes and you will see what God will do. And he wants us to focus. This is the four things that he wanted to focus. One, the scripture says they prayed. They all joined together constantly in prayer. So if you want to fulfill the commission of God, what God has called you to do, you must have a life of commitment and prayer. Don't you think you're going to go there and start praying for someone. And you go there, oh, and but you never spend time in prayer. God's not going to move. The power must be there in your life. Now, I'm going to speak to you the difference before and later on about being what? Sealed by the Spirit and filled by the Spirit. That's two different things right there. Sealed and filled are two different things. So they prayed, the scripture tells us, and even Acts 1, 23, 24, you'll see, and they nominate two men, Joseph called Barabbas, also named Justus and Matthias. They prayed. Lord, you know everyone's heart. They pray. So it's a key thing, we must focus on the prayer. And I know we do that, but we need to do more. The second thing was they do is they study the word. In Acts 1:15-20, in those days Peter stood up among the believers and about 120 and said, brothers and sisters, the scriptures had to fulfill in which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through David. And you will see. So the preaching of God's word was also there. The word of God is there. You and I must study the word of God. You might not just glance on it, but you must study the word of God. So they prayed, they studied the word of God. And number three is they obeyed what they heard from the scriptures, what they read. You can read all the scriptures you want, but we must act in obedience later on, what God tells us to do. If God tells us to go out and preach the gospel, he calls us to do that. We must obey what God tells us to do. But we become afraid or fearful. It's because we forget that the person is in us. The Spirit of God gave us the power to do so, to go out and preach the gospel. And we use many methods how to preach the gospel. We use the Easter presentation. Someone can give a handshake and just share the gospel with someone and say, you know something, I just sense this in your heart. And I remember one time I went to McDonald's, famous McDonald's. I don't want to publicize McDonald's because... And I was sitting with my wife, we're having a tea and a cup of coffee. That was our date night. And we were there sitting down and I see this lady, maybe a couple of tables away, and something was tugging my heart to go speak to her. And we just, my wife goes, okay, Robert, it's your night off. Relax. Let's have a good time. But she knows me. She just likes to joke with me like that. She says, don't, because she's just going to say, I know you're going to go and talk to her. So, but she's just trying to hold me back. So I says, no, Lily, let's go together. And I just sit down with the woman. And again, I don't understand why all these women there, every time I meet the woman, they always start to crying. So she started crying again. And I said, my face? I don't know what it is, but they were crying. She was crying again, and we just took that moment, and we prayed together there, and she was struggling with some situations at home with her children. So just all that, what I'm trying to say is, God tells us to move to a place, obey it. It's not even, Pastor Allen said it, he has specific times. It's not like you should go to anybody, but God designed their plans in a different ordained days for us to just move and go where to go. It's not just going out and Jesus loves you. You're going to be going crazy. I tell you, they're going to bring you to the hospital. You know, you got to be, God's going to speak to your heart, and he's going to confirm it, and then we must obey it. And just go. It takes a second. And wouldn't you like to see you play your hand on someone and just be transformed? Didn't he say, you do greater things? Doesn't that verse mean something to you? It does mean something to me. So they obeyed. And then the fourth thing is what? They gathered together. A lot of people say, I don't have to go to church. I can do it at home. No, they gather together constantly in prayer, as a corporate prayer, as in fellowship. They gather together one heart, corporate worship together in a church setting, in a synagogue, wherever they were, together in a house, focusing on those four things. Praying, studying the Word of God, obeying the Word of God, and having corporate worship together. We need that. I need you the way you need me. We need each other to fight this dark world. So what does it mean to focus? A humble heart recognizing how much I need God that drives me to seek God. We focus so that we can be clean and receive the fullness of God. And the Bible tells us all in Acts 2:4, were filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and begun to speak in other tongues. We all want to great results, but we need to know how those great results happen. We all want to be a billionaire, but how did he become a billionaire? We all want to be a Tiger Woods, but how did he, not what he done, but the golf. How did he become the professional golf player or Mike Tyson? There had to be something. He just didn't born to be a Mike Tyson. There was something that he had to do to be there. Paul, Peter, all those disciples, they had to do something before you've seen results. And I'm the person, when I go play golf, is I like to look at the results before hitting the ball. So I go like this, and the ball is still there. It's because you must focus on the ball first, and then you will see the great results in the hole. In one. But if you're, okay, I know where it is. You're not going to hit the ball. You can stay all day laying. You're going to take duck 2 feet of grass. I guarantee you right now. Because you're not focusing in the right spot. And it's the same thing with us. If we're focusing on the wrong thing, you're not going to see results. You're not going to see the great results. But God has called us to do greater things. He says, you know, I heard this one preacher say this, and I like this, and I like to quote this from him. Peter preached 10 minutes and 3,000 saved. The congregation likes to hear a preacher preach for 10 minutes. Huh? Don't we like that? It'd be good, huh? A preacher preaches 10 minutes. Oh, we go home. We're good. We're so happy. Peter preaches 10 minutes and 3,000 saved. Don't you like to preach just a minute and souls will be coming to know Jesus Christ as the personal Savior? We all like that. But God has placed the desire. Remember, God has placed the desire, and I'm going to stir it up today. He's placed the desire in every heart here to do greater things. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness. The Spirit of God came upon them. And we look at the famous verse, Ephesians 3, verse 20. I want to read this with you because I want you to let it go slowly and you will see. We all know this verse here. Now to him who is able to immeasurably more than we ask or imagine according to his power that is worked within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. Now, we quote this verse. Oh, now to him. Oh, God, you're a big guy. You can do all things. Am I right? Don't we preach like that sometimes? Don't we say that verse and we say, God, that's a wonderful verse for us. The reason Paul is saying this, because he knows deep in our heart there is a desire to see God do something great. God can do bigger than you can even imagine. And he can use you to do those greater things. But there's key words that I want to share with you here. Look at the next word. Now, to him who is able to do, okay, here it is, then to ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. So you and I have to have this power in our lives. The great things will happen because of the power of God is in our lives. There it is. Now we go on. But you know something? The power that works within us, power comes on us only when they can be my witness. So Paul says in Ephesians, our God can do more in our church, more than you can even imagine. And how? Through this power of the Holy Spirit that works in you and works in my life. And all of us like Ephesians 3:20, but there must be an Ephesians 3:19. We must look at the 19 first. Look what the 19 says. And to know that this love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with to the measure of all the fullness of God. Then it goes, now. It's the fullness of God that we need to search for. We're focusing on prayer and the Word of God. We're focusing on all that stuff and obeying. We're focusing on even in acting and doing and what God has called us to do in fellowship. But then now you have to focus on the fullness of God. And the fullness of God is His love. And I have a hard time understanding this. Because if you're focusing on the fullness of God, the love is in your heart, and you must transmit this love to individuals. Don't keep it to yourself, because if God and Christ, if Christ kept it to Himself, you and I would not be here today. But He's given us this love within our hearts to love individuals, to care for individuals, to step out and do something great things what God has called us to do. It's time for Christians to get up, roll up our sleeves, get on our knees, because greater things are going to happen. Greater things are going to happen. So the fullness of God is extremely important. Fullness always precedes the fulfillment of greater things. In Ephesians 1:13, 14, as you also will include in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. We are God's possession to the praise of His glory. Paul has clarified that the moment of salvation, you were sealed by the Spirit of God. And if you don't have the Spirit of God, it's because you don't have the relationship with Christ. It's guaranteed that you and I are with Christ. If you have accepted Christ in your heart, you have a seal in your life. But there's a difference between being sealed and being filled, like I said before. Sealed is at a moment of salvation as you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Spirit of God has entered into your life. But filled by the Spirit of God is determined moment by moment in which the way you are controlled by the Spirit of God. Now that's why some of us this morning came here. The moment we sung the first song, we came with joy and we're standing and we sang and we raised our hearts and we raised our hands and we worshiped the Lord. You're filled by the Spirit of God. But some of you came here this morning, you're not filled by the Spirit of God. You're sealed, but you're not filled with the Spirit of God. It is a moment by moment experience with God. Why? Why is it there's some people like, another boring service, and then someone just worships so fast? Isn't there has to be a difference? One is sealed, we're both sealed, but someone is looking for to be this filled by the Spirit of God, and someone's just waiting for another day to pass. No, church. No. The moment we just have to say, the moment someone says God, excitement has to come out. Because that joy is in your heart. You've experienced that. You experienced the joy and the love and the peace and the hope that He's given to us. Isn't that amazing to know? So it varies in a place to time, someone who's filled and filled. So, but we see that this one is being touched by God, is being used by God. Why not me? It's because he's seeking to be filled by the Spirit of God. That's simple. The more you seek God, it doesn't mean the more miracles you will get. The most important thing is, or the more things will happen through your life. No, the thing is that we must seek the face of God. And we must seek to be filled by the Spirit of God. Do not quench the Spirit of God. He tells us in the Scriptures in 1 Thessalonians 5:19. It is like the Spirit of God is like a fire within our hearts, within our life. And it's longing to range inside and consume you. And when sin comes in our life, when we fail, to walk under the control of the Holy Spirit of God, we put the fire down inside of us. And when we do that, the result is that we're grieving the Holy Spirit of God. The more you empty yourself, the more you deal with the sin, the more you are filled by the Spirit of God. The more you empty yourself, the more you deal with sin, the more you're filled with the Spirit of God. Every time we say yes to sin, we're saying no to the Holy Spirit. The more we say no to sin, we're saying yes to the Spirit of God. Why do we need to say no to sin? The only chance you and I have in leading our family is when we say no to sin. When we say no to sin, the only chance being a great husband. When we say no to sin is the only chance being a good father or a great father. When I say no to sin is being a good husband. When I say no to sin is being a great shepherd for the church. Because if I say yes to sin, we're going to be going the wrong way. So we must fight that and say no to sin and yes with the Spirit of God. Sin, stay away. Fight it the way you have to fight it. Put it aside. Release it. Because your prayer is, I want more to be filled by the Spirit of God. Because God wants to do greater things in your life. Greater things in our lives. Being filled by the Spirit of God. I want the Spirit of God and everything that comes with it. Not just a little glimpse. You know, sometimes we go to these fancy restaurants. You get this big plate. It looks from far. Wow, a big plate. And you have a little meat like this. Why, just put it in a napkin or whatever you have to do. Don't give me a big plate for a small piece of steak. Give me everything with it. Give me even the T-bone on it. Give me the steak and the bone and the potatoes and the salad. Give me everything. I want it all. So if I want the Spirit of God, I want it all of it. I just don't want portion or just a little bit or just a little taste. Everything, God. Give me everything. No to sin. Yes to the Spirit of God. No to sin. Church, no to sin and yes to the Spirit of God. And when we say yes to the Spirit of God, great things will happen in our lives. And great things will happen in the community. And great things will happen around the world. But when we say yes to sin, destruction happens. I was getting a little bit ahead of myself. So the key of Acts 2 is not getting the right method. It's getting the right spirit. Is getting the right Spirit of God in your life. The right spirit, the right attitude, the right mindset, the right heart. Let me tell you this something about God. God will use all kinds of methods if you are filled with the Spirit of God. We're always trying to find methods and methods to perform and how to lead people to Christ. Acts 2 is not about just how to be there. There's many books out there how to lead people to Christ, and thank God for that. But Acts 2 for me is being what? Is waiting for the Spirit of God. We need more of the Spirit of God upon our life to do greater things. So we need fullness. We need to focus on the fullness and that we can, I can fulfill what God has called us to do. He gave us the Spirit of God so we can do greater things. In Acts 2 is a church what God wanted it. That's what God wants for New Hope Christian Assembly. To focus, to look at the fullness of God, to search the fullness of God, to fulfill what God has called us to do. And what does it look like in the church in Acts? It looks like a group of people focusing on Him, filled with the Spirit, and then fulfilling the Great Commission. And you see after that, you see after the day of the Pentecost, and they were filled by the Spirit of God. When they waited and filled, you will see Peter preaching, you will see the healed, people healed, the healed, the crippled, and you can go on and on. It has to mean something, that verse, for us. We can do greater things, but you must be in the Acts 1 and 2 first. Focus on the fullness to fulfill what God has called us to do. Jesus designed the church that way. He designed it and he left us the church to follow in Acts 1 and 2. He didn't design a church, an anemic church, or a powerless church, or a self-absorbed church. It's sad. There are lots of kinds of churches that way. And he leaves behind a church that he didn't want to leave, a church that has no ability to accomplish the Great Commission. He left a church that we can accomplish what he's called us to do. It was never his desire to leave a group of people, a group whose hearts are not stirred by just a song on a Sunday morning. Your heart must be stirred when you sing a song in the morning. When we sing a song, it must hit your heart. Or we're just singing it for the fun of it. You must cry when we sing those songs about the lost. He must hit us so hard and say, yes, Lord, those are the words. Lord, use me in that way, God. And we take it as a tradition. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary. Oh, you. When we sing those songs, it has to hit our hearts. Something has to happen inside. We can't take it lightly. The time is coming to an end as Jesus' return is getting closer and closer. And we need to do the Great Commission. God has called us to go out and to do greater things. Greater things. Church, when we sing our hearts need to be broken for this broken world. Every time we leave this place, my encouragement to everyone is we should leave this place telling people what God has done for us. If you went home and you went to a friend and you spoke what God has done into your life, into the church, whatever in the family's life, praise God. If you go home and sit on that table of yours and you start criticizing on someone or something, you have lost everything. You cannot fulfill what God has called you to do. You can serve all you want in the church, but if you're not focusing on the right thing, it's not going to be effective. You're going to suffer and the people around you will suffer. There's three kinds of churches in the world, and I want to come to a conclusion this morning. I love, Brother Pastor Allen said a conclusion last week, but it was like 20 minutes later, the conclusion was still there. So I said, I want to start that way too, almost to conclusion, okay? There's three churches that I look at as a focused church. They love the word, they love to hear the word, and they talk about the word, and they love to pray, but there is no power, and they look good, but there is no anointing. Pretty strong what I'm saying there. There's a fullness church. It's all about the Spirit, the manifestation of the Spirit of God, the move of the Spirit, the yelling and all that. But there's no doctrine. There's no word as being doctrine in our hearts, in our minds. But again, little focus on the fullness church. Fullness is not grounded on a very little fulfillment. If fullness is not grounded, there's going to be little fulfillment. They are receiving fullness, but it's not for a purpose. And then you have the fulfillment church. It's all about evangelism, leading people to Jesus Christ as the personal Savior. Sunday morning, it's all about that. It looks so great. Yes, the church looks so great. Thousands of people are being saved in a year, and that's good. Every church should be evangelism like that, because that's what it is about. But evangelism is not flowing out of the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit. It's in our mind. It's accomplishing, but in the mind, it's of God is very little. You can see thousands of people come here at the altar, but if they not really experience the power of God, they will leave the place the same way they came in. It looks good. Hundreds of people go to the altar. You and I know so many people who came to the altar and they're back to square one. So those are three churches that I'm looking at this morning. In the fulfillment journey, it looks great. And they're the ones that everybody talks about in the city. Wow, did you see 1,000 people got saved? I remember this brother that came to the church. He was running a non-profit organization. It was called a Second Chance Cafe. And if he's watching me, the Lord forgive your heart that you're going to hit me now. And every, it's a non-profit organization, and thousands of people used to walk through that door. And every day he used to write, oh, another one saved, another one saved, another one saved. And at the end of the year he goes, oh, 955 people were saved. I says, but where's the people? The church is still the same. If someone is saved, if someone is transformed, they must go somewhere. It looks good. Oh, that place, man, 1,000 people got saved last year. Where are they now? I know I'm a little bit, can be some bad the way I'm saying things, but I'm sharing my heart. Jesus came and showed us the way to be the church. Focus on the word, obey the word, sing together, pray together, so we can be clean vessels, so the Spirit of God can fill us. In my prayer for this church, it were the three churches putting together as a balance. A church that what? Focuses. That looks, searches for the fullness of God and fulfills what God has called us to do. All three are important, but it's nice to have it in the same bag. Amen? That is my prayer for this church. Being filled by the Spirit of God so we can accomplish the fulfillment of the commission. Accomplish what He wants us to accomplish. And this is the church that I want. This is the church, and this is what I want to lead the church, is the three churches put together. We have a lot to fulfill, and it doesn't just happen. It goes on to Acts right away, and we need to go to Acts 1 first. Read Acts 1, read Acts 2. And you will see the results of Acts 3. But we need to read Acts 1 and 2 first. My prayers, we have the three. And I have to say this. Some of us has lost the focus. Some of us lost the focus. And we need to get back into focusing on those four. Because, and some of us even have lost the fullness of God. You're sealed, you have accepted Christ, but you can do greater things, but you have to go back and look for the fullness of God. I need the fullness of God in my life to fulfill what God has called us to do. That verse has to mean something, greater things. And I just pray that this small message will hit our hearts and really challenging us this week to prepare our hearts for greater things. Do you believe that with me this morning? Do you believe in greater things? Let's all stand this morning. Every eye closed, every head bowed for a moment. We will conclude with the song this morning as Twyla will come up. And our dear sister, Monique, will lead us into a song of worship, a prayer. But I want to just say these applications this morning. Some of us have lost focus. I ask you as we sing to focus again on Christ and say, Lord, yes, I did fail. I haven't been the right person. I haven't done what you called me to do, Lord. And I want to focus again. And some of you this morning have sin in your life and you don't have the fullness of the Spirit of God. You're not filled. I ask you to place aside the sin and say, sin away now, Spirit of God, come in. Something has to move away for the Spirit of God to come in your life. And some of you need to ask the Lord to fulfill what God has called you to do. Do we have a piano player here as we conclude this morning? Every head bowed, every eyes closed, and just focus on the word this morning. Just pray that this word would really encourage us and challenge us to take a step Father, we come to a conclusion of this service, O Lord. We thank you for your word once again has been shared. Father, we want to be a church that will focus on the fullness, O God. We want to focus on you, Lord, to be filled by the Spirit of God so we can fulfill what you called us to do, Lord. Forgive us as we have sinned. Forgive us as we've fallen short in some areas, O Lord. But I know, Lord, that you are a loving God. And you went to the Father to give us the Spirit of God, counselor, a helper, to give us that power to continue to do what you called us to do. Thank you for saving our lives and for calling us and for choosing us, Lord. And now, Lord, we just need to act on what you called us to do, Lord.